Around this time of year in the Pacific Northwest, the grape harvest winds down, and the wines are moved into barrels for the long fermentation process. Commentator Matt Giroux says harvest time, like the wine it produces, is always something to savor.
When it's harvest time here in Oregon, the air gets crisp and shadows lengthen into autumn, and the northern hemisphere turns towards ripeness. For me and a few friends, that means grapes. Every year about this time, we wait for the hour when they get ripe, hoping we'll get a big enough window to pick them before winter storms cream the crop. So when the vineyard manager calls to tell us they're ready to pick, we're gone. Sloughing off our day jobs, we'll head west, leaving the city and traffic and crowds and anthrax and anything that ends in stan far behind. Out the car window, urban sprawl slowly fades to rolling hills and open country, the sound of distant birds and the occasional tractor tamped down by the rich earth. When the weather is clear, the light is clean and warm, and it kindles the yellow vines. They sizzle like fuses down the hillside to explosions of autumn color in the valley below. We work slowly, bending to get at the clusters which hang mercilessly low on the vine. Every now and then, I check to see if anyone's looking, and I crush a whole cluster in my mouth like some kind of savage vegan, and the rush of fresh fruit is deliriously overwhelming. It's hard but satisfying work, and after the conversation peters out, there's just the clippers, the clank of moving buckets, and half a dozen people happy to be alive. I've always felt oddly comfortable out here, breathing clean country air while surrounded by the civilized order of the vines. But it's also that I'm not alone. People have been doing this for thousands of years. When we pick, it's hard not to hear their footsteps, the thousands of Babylonians, Romans, and French who also tiptoed into vineyards to cull the harvest from the vines. Billions of yeast cells also populate the vineyard, floating around and ready to turn the grapes into wine if I don't do it first. As I'm clipping away, I imagine them as an army of used car salesmen, hanging around, trading off-color fermentation stories and cleaning their teeth with their ties until a ripe one walks in the door. Business has been slow since this time last year, so they swarm the unsuspecting customer, and the dining and wining begin. The day will end in my basement, where we'll haul the fruit to begin fermentation. In a few weeks, we'll have wine, a transformation all the more miraculous considering the jury-rigged operation producing it. We might sometimes make wine only a mother could love, but dang if it isn't still wine. So harvest is more than just a chance to spend a few hours away from the city in the company of friends while the day job bleats pathetically in the distance. In an afternoon's labor, you capture something fleeting, like a moment of ripeness, and store it away in convenient wine form. You might uncork it years from now and miles away, but the smell of the fruit in your glass will pull you back to that moment like a message in a bottle. The freshness of the air carrying the scent of turning leaves, the glance over your shoulder down the vine rows, which frame the valley as it recedes into the curve of the earth.
Matt Giroux is a writer and filmmaker. He lives in Portland, Oregon.